Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You and I have a lot of scriptures that tell us how we fight the enemy. Think of one of them in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. We are to pray to be delivered from the evil one. The Bible says, don't give a place to the enemy. How can you give a place to the enemy? By not having your armor on.
Not having our armor on the battlefield leaves us vulnerable, because it is God's protection and God's protection alone that keeps us safe from the enemy who seeks to bring destruction and death. We hope you are gaining much daily practical wisdom on spiritual warfare from our current series, Combat Zone, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. If you've missed any part of our series or you'd like to re-listen to a teaching, go to calvarytucson.com/teachings. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson, with Ephesians 6:16 and the shield of faith.
Open up your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 6. We're in our series on spiritual warfare. We're going to be talking about the shield of faith today. I've been excited about this study because it deals with so much of what the real spiritual battle is about. Let's pray. Let's ask God to bless this Bible study. Father, thank you so much for your word. It is rich and deep and meaningful and powerful and profound, and it is life-changing. And Lord, as we continue on with the armor, and we remember how important that is, we pray, Lord, that we would protect our minds and our hearts today with the armor that you have provided. And we thank you for this. Speak to us clearly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Welcome to our study in the book of Ephesians. We've been in it for a while. This is our 24th study in the relatively short book. Today we are covering one verse as we have really slowed down in the armor of God passage. Let me read to you what the Bible says about the armor of God and its importance. This is Ephesians 6, 12 through 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, and against a spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, because of that spiritual battle that takes place, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Note there that there is an evil day. There is a day when Satan looks that he might be able to take advantage of you. When Jesus was tempted, and he took out his shield of faith, and he said, it is written, it is written, it is written, and protected himself from the enemy's attack, then he said, be gone with you, Satan. And Satan left, but the Bible says that he waited to come back at a more opportune time. He thought, I wasn't successful because this wasn't the right time. Let me come back when it's a more opportune time, and I will be successful then. We are in the middle of a series called Combat Zone. That's our spiritual warfare series. The problem is that many Christians live as if there were not a war. They are unaware, unprotected, unprepared for the attack of the enemy. We just feel like everything is of the flesh, and we roll up our sleeves to take care of things without ever considering that this is spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That simply means it's not swords and spears and knives and guns, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. A stronghold is when something's got a hold of your life. You just can't seem to get rid of it. You just can't seem to get it out of your life. And God's weapons are mighty to pull down that stronghold in your life. If you're struggling with a weak hold, I don't know what to tell you. But if you're struggling with a stronghold, the weapons of God are mighty. It says casting down arguments. Notice that it has to do with your mind. Satan, you see, he shoots his arrows into your mind, hoping your mind would catch on fire. Casting down arguments and high things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So we have the knowledge of God through his word, and he attacks in our minds with doubt on the things in the word of God. And then it goes on to say, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. to really walk with Christ the way that we should, we not only have to get our actions in order, we've talked a lot about that, but we have to get our mind thinking the right things. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, whatever's pure, whatever's holy, whatever's honorable, whatever's true, whatever's trustworthy, think on these things. It's good for us to control what's going in our mind. There will always be intrusive thoughts. You know what it's like. You suddenly wonder, where did that come from? All of a sudden, out of the blue. I don't know that all intrusive thoughts are from Satan, but I'll guarantee you that some of them, maybe even most of them are. He's like, I know how to get this guy thinking about this. Thwanka. And our mind's on fire. And that's exactly what he wants to do. Someone shooting a fiery dart, as we're going to see, isn't really desiring to hit somebody and kill them. They're desiring to catch things on fire. Satan's fiery darts want to catch your mind on fire and your emotions. He's wanting you to be discouraged. He's wanting you to be down. He's wanting you to be questioning. He's looking that you would have doubts and condemnation in your mind. That's what Satan hopes to do. So the title of our message today is The Shield of Faith, The Ultimate Protection. A good shield is really important in battle. It was in their day, and today, if warriors go into battle, they wear a flak jacket. If they go somewhere where bullets are flying, they have a flak jacket on. That's kind of the equivalent to a shield in their day. The shield protected them, even as a flak jacket protects today. We were told not only what the shield protects us from, but what the enemy is doing. That's what this passage tells us. We are protected from his fiery darts, which he is firing at us, hoping to catch our mind and our emotions on fire. So we want to have the ultimate protection. And as I said, I've really been looking forward to covering this with you because I believe it is the crux of what the spiritual battle is about. A lot of people write a lot of books about casting out demons and taking control over demons and binding them in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan. Get out your hands off my finances, Satan. Those kind of things. It's interesting, if you go to the binding and loosing passage, it's talking about church discipline. That when someone gets out of line, really out of line, and the church authority has to get involved, and they say, you can no longer come to church, that you're binding someone, it's bound in heaven, or you're loosing and it's loosed in heaven. You want to follow the guidelines of Scripture, and we've been given really good guidelines in Scripture about church discipline, but that's what it's about. It's not about spiritual warfare. So when you feel like you're being attacked, when it dawns on you, I'm being attacked, then don't bind the enemy. The apostles had the authority to cast demons out. Jesus gave it to them. Again, we're talking about apostles with a big A. Paul falls into that category. He's on Cyprus. A girl is following him who's telling people's fortunes. And she's saying, this man teaches the way of God. And he got tired of the press from the enemy. When the enemy's giving you press, there's problems. And so he turned around and said, I adjure you in the name of Christ to come out of her. That was the authority of an apostle. You and I have a lot of scriptures that tell us how we fight the enemy. Think of one of them in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. We are to pray to be delivered from the evil one. The Bible says, don't give a place to the enemy. How can you give a place to the enemy? By not having your armor on. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, therefore put on the whole armor of God. You can't put on everything else but not have your righteousness on. You can go, you know what? I have unconfessed, unrepentant sin in my life, and I've got this sin harbored in my life. I'm going to go back. I'm going to do it again. You don't have the breastplate on, and you are vulnerable. So you need to have the entire armor on, and then you'll be able to fight against the enemy. And we see here in this study today what the real battle looks like. We get down to the nitty-gritty, as we say. Now, let me start by reading you this passage. This is Ephesians 6:16. It starts with above all. So this is one of the most important pieces of armor we have. Above all. It's as if he's saying, don't forget this piece. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Years ago now, we were doing prison ministry on one of the prisons out on Wilmot Road. And it was a midweek service, and we had a lot of guys come out to it. And one night we were sharing with each other just on what's going on. We're having people stand up and share. And one guy got up and goes, "You really need to pray for me because the enemy is shooting his diary farts at me." Now, I don't know whether that was planned, because the same thing that happened here happened there. So maybe he was planning it. But I've certainly done that. I remember teaching out of Isaiah and saying that we have Weagle's ings. And when I meant eagle's wings. I don't know what Weagle's ings are. Years ago, I was told by someone here last night, we were going to Mexico and building homes, and I was encouraging the people to go, and at this point, you needed your birth certificate. Don't forget your birth certificate. But instead, I said twice, don't forget your birth control. That's not a good mistake to make. So here it is, his fiery darts. The other, I don't even want to think about it. But here it's his fiery darts of the wicked one that we want to be able to quench. That which quenches it is the shield of faith. Faith is, we're going to see, the means by which we come to Christ. Faith is the means by which we live. The Bible says the just will live by faith. There's a man who was known for faith. His name was George Mueller. Let me read you a little bit about him. George Mueller, 1805 to 1898, was a Christian evangelist and missionary, known for his unwavering faith. In fact, he's got a biography, the George Mueller biography. I don't remember if there's a second title to that, but you'll find it with that. It is one of the most inspiring books that I've ever read. It inspires us to trust in God rather than other people. I read another biography on D.L. Moody called A Passion for Souls. Both of those were incredibly inspiring to me. But George Mueller's book is as well. It goes on to say he was born in Germany. He lived much of his life in England, where he was famous for funding orphanages that cared for 10,000 children. The Bible says pure and undefiled religion is to take care of the orphans and the widows. And he did that, all without ever asking for financial support. There are those who are good at asking for financial support. He didn't ask for it at all. He relied solely on prayer and God's provision, trusting that the Lord would meet the needs. Mueller's early life was marked by rebellion and dishonesty. But after a dramatic conversion in his early 20s, he dedicated himself to ministry. In 1834, he founded the Gospel Knowledge Institution, which supported missionaries, distributed Bibles, provided Christian education. His greatest legacy, however, was his work with orphans in Bristol, England. Despite never focusing on raising funds, he witnessed countless miracles of provision. These are the things that you read when you read the book and how God met his needs miraculously. And I looked up one to make sure that I had it right, because sometimes my memory doesn't always remember things the way they should be. So let me read this to you. He helps us understand faith. This is the true story of just one of the events where he relied on faith to care for thousands of orphans. One morning, his orphanage had no food. He gathered the children around an empty table and led them in prayer, thanking God for the meal that he would provide. Moments later, a baker knocked on the door saying he felt led to bring fresh bread. Then a milkman's cart broke down right outside, and he offered all of his milk before it spoiled. Faith provided when logically it was impossible. We understand a baker knowing that there's an orphanage and feeling led to go and give food to orphans. That's a good thing. But the fact that a milk truck breaks down right outside and the guy's like, this is the day, we've got ice here, it's going to melt, all this is going to spoil. Look, there's an orphanage. Let's go ahead and do that. Jesus said to Martha, when her brother Lazarus had died, remember that I told you, and we don't know when he told her this, but he said, remember I told you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. There is power in faith. And if you trust in God, one day we will see him in all of his glory. That is true for every man, woman, and child of faith that is in here. And maybe along the way, we might see something miraculous take place. Now, if you're taking notes, I have these three things I want to cover today. Number one, the importance of faith. Number two, the protection of faith. The enemy targets our minds, which we've already talked about, and I want us to get into that mindset. Think of Eve. When Satan showed up, did he show up in her house and make noises at night? Did he scare her? Did he leave footprints in the carpet? These are all things people tell me happened to them. I hear cupboard doors slamming at night. I hear things. Non-believers call them gremlins. Christians call them demons. And they say, will you come to my house and anoint it with holy oil and pray for it? And I always tell them, I don't have any holy oil. I don't even know what it is. I wouldn't know how to make it or get any of it. Holy oil, I guess it's something that a priest has just blessed. I don't know. But then I tell them, you don't need me to come to your house. You just need to understand the enemy's all smoke and mirrors. If he's doing ooky spooky stuff with you, he can't touch you. And so that's it. You ever woke up and not been able to move? This is a phenomenon that happens periodically to people. And oftentimes we equate it to demonic activity, that a demon is doing that. I heard Elisa Childers talking about this a while back, and she said that this would happen to her when she was younger, and that the last time it happened to her, she woke up and she couldn't move, and she just began to laugh. It wasn't like drunk in the spirit laughing like, you know, the people do. But it was her understanding, is this really all he has? All he can do is make me not move for a little while? And that's supposed to make me scared of the devil? The devil cannot touch you if you are a genuine Christian. But what he can do is shoot his fiery darts at you. And so we will talk about the protection of faith. We'll also be talking about the fiery darts of the enemy and the spiritual attack. So what these represent and stand for and how he's attacking you, and maybe something will kind of ring a bell and you'll hit this and go, oh, I understand what's going on. So I need to combat this with my shield of faith. Faith is necessary for salvation. If you are genuinely saved, then you had faith. It says in Ephesians 2:8, you guys ought to be really familiar with this by now, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself, it is a work of God. It goes on to say, so that you won't boast. So it's by faith that we trust in him. Faith is essential for pleasing God. In fact, we can't please him without having faith. It says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God's promise. This is George Mueller, who diligently sought God in prayer, and God rewarded him for his faith in simply trusting by him. Faith is the means by which we engage in a real relationship with God. It is not optional for the believer. We all have to have it. Faith is the source of spiritual strength. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this tree, be cast into the water, and it will be. Another point, he said, you could take this mountain and cast it into the sea, and it will be. He didn't expect us as Christians to walk around ripping up mountains and throwing them into the sea. These were metaphors for the power of faith in our lives. When we see one thing, but God has said something else, and we trust him for it. In 1 John 5:4, Jesus said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So the disciples are in the boat with Jesus one day, and Jesus is talking to them about faith, and they say to him, Lord, increase our faith. That's actually what a lot of teachers teach, that we have a faith container inside of us. And if you get enough faith in there, you're going to be able to do incredible things. But Jesus said to the disciples, how long have I been with you and you still don't understand me? Which was not the only time he expressed frustration with them. I wonder how much frustration the Lord would express with us when we're not grasping spiritual things. And he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, be removed. It's not getting more faith. It's using the faith you have. That's why faith the size of a mustard seed is powerful. When you are trusting in God. Let me give you my definition for faith. Faith is believing God enough to do what he says. When God says to do it, faith says, I'm going to do that. And when you do that, you find the power of God's word behind you. The power isn't in your faith. One guy wrote a little book called Have Faith in Your Faith, which is like having nothing and nothing. My faith is what I put my faith into. I put my faith on this stage right now. I know it's going to hold me up. We built the stage. I was here when they did it. I saw it happen. I know it's going to hold me up. But when I climb up on a chair in my house to change a light bulb because I'm too lazy to get the ladder, I'm not quite sure I'm going to stay stable on that chair while I'm reaching up to get the light bulb. I could put my faith in the wrong thing. That's the point. Corey Ten Boom said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Faith is the means by which we say, God, it doesn't look like things are going the right way now, but I trust in you. Job is the great example of that. Job went through the awful things that Job went through. His wife said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? I heard someone say here recently that was a positive thing. She was being positive to him. Look, when your wife tells you curse God and die, there's nothing that you can find positive with that. I can understand her saying, why don't you just die? It might be better off for you. But curse God and die? Curse God and go meet him face to face. That's not a good thing. Now, the second thing that we see is the protection of faith. Faith is the means by which we're saved. Faith is the means by which we see the things of God and the way that he works in our lives. Faith serves as a spiritual shield, absorbing and extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy. That's what the passage said. Above all, use your shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. He shoots his darts of condemnation. He wants you condemned. This is the real spiritual battle.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app. on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.